Now, I'm sure many of you have been following the news over the last while and have perhaps come across some of the different things that are taking place in the news. There are references to celebrities. You always want to know the gossip. You read about the celebrities and how one celebrity gets upset with another celebrity and sues them for millions of rand or dollars or pounds. There's been attacks on various people because of parents who have been disgruntled. There have even been incidents of road rage where someone cut somebody else off and they cut them off, and so it went on until eventually they ended up fighting with each other outside their cars. So the list goes on and on. Even in our own lives, perhaps, there are those who we wish that we could get back at, those that we wish would just fall off the planet. Those that we could get back at. We wish we could sue them because they've done this or that or the next thing to us. Our world's attitude is, I am the most important person in my world, and if you interfere with my world, you will face my wrath. Such is the mentality of many, many people in our world today. If you offend me, if you insult me, if you harm me, then you better watch out. Life is all about me, myself, and I. Last week we began looking at the teaching of Jesus under the heading of the ignored Savior. Why, you might ask, are we looking at a series called The Ignored Savior? Well, because I think in our modern thinking, we tend to think that we know so much about Jesus. We know everything that he has taught. We are familiar with what he has said. That either we ignore it, or we don't want to hear what he has to say, because actually we don't want to do what he says. And so we ignore our Lord and Savior. Now, as a Christian, that is a very dangerous place to be in. As we've been singing this morning, God has given us his grace. And what does he demand then from us? How can we not but give our lives fully to him? Last week we looked at the idea of loving our enemy, and we looked at that very next section there from 43 to 48. As we understood how we should love our enemies, those who despise us, those who we do not like. And Jesus says that we shouldn't ignore him here, because, hey, he loved us when we were his enemies on the cross. But is life all about me, myself, and I? Or is there more to this life? Well, this morning I want to have a look at this passage here that Helen read for us, Matthew chapter 5 and from verse 38. My first point, the first comment this morning is, I'm going to get you. Jesus recalls in the middle of this teaching on the Sermon on the Mount, remember that he was teaching to a large group of people who were sitting on the slope of a mountain, and he'd already said quite a bit to them. So if you turn back to the beginning of chapter 5, that's where Jesus began speaking to this crowd of people. And he's already said a whole lot of stuff to them. But he gets to this point here. He reminds them of a piece of legislation, of a law that was written, that was given to the Israelites when they were leaving Egypt, when they were walking around in the desert. And Jesus reminds them of this command. Verse 38. You have heard that it was said, eye for eye and tooth for tooth. Now that is a command that the Lord God of heaven gave to Moses, who then passed it on to the Israelites. There's references to it in Exodus chapter 21. There's references to it in Leviticus chapter 24. And there are references to it in Deuteronomy chapter 19. Now, I've basically, what God was saying here is that he was giving them a command to restrict retaliation. Let's just, for example, and going to one of these three references, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 19. I've put the reference on the screen there. But Deuteronomy chapter 19, and the Lord God is speaking to the Israelites, and he says, "Do to him as he intended to do to you." That's in the whole context of somebody tripping over a brick that you left in the road and damaging themselves. And the Lord God is saying to them, if they tripped over that brick and damaged themselves and gave themselves a blue eye, then they are at liberty to give you a blue eye. Show no pity, the Lord God says, life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, and foot for foot. You see, friends, our natural instinct when someone has harmed us, what is it? Get back at them. So if you've had kids in your home, you will know exactly what I'm speaking about. One of them does something, leaves something lying in the lounge, and the other one trips and falls and bangs their head on the coffee table. What's the immediate instinct that happens? The one who fell jumps up in a mad huff, shouts at the other one, punches them, and storms off. And when mom or dad come into the room and say, why did you punch your brother or your sister? They said, well, they left that thing in the road and I fell over it. It's their fault. And that's exactly what we all do, isn't it? But God has given us these commands so that we limit our retaliation. So that if someone does something to us, we don't go beyond what they are doing, what they've done to us. For example, in the gang warfare on the Cape Flats in Cape Town, one gang member is happily walking along the side of the street when a member from another gang drives past in a car, sees them, and hurls some insult out the window at them. So what does that gang member do? He goes off to his gang and says, you know that guy from the other gang? He insulted me. So the other gang grab all their guys together and they go off, they find this guy and they beat him up. So the beaten up gang member then goes off to his gang and he tells his gang, you know that guy over there? Blah, 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 they beat me up. And so the other gang come out with knives and guns and everything else and they look for the other gang members. And an all-out war ensues. One is killed, and then this gang retaliates to that gang, and two or three are killed. So the process carries on. It's just to add a bit of effect of gun blasts and everything else. But can you see how retaliation works? And that is the natural way that we do things. God says, no, if they've damaged your eye, you can only damage their eye. You cannot go further. And that is really what the Lord Jesus is saying to the people here. The Lord Jesus says, you've heard that it was said, eye for eye and tooth for tooth. Do not go beyond what somebody has done to you. But then Jesus says, that's how it was in the past. But he goes on to say, but I tell you, and then he mentions four different things. Can you see what the Lord is saying here? This is something really difficult, something that is hard to do, and something that I think we tend to gloss over and ignore because we actually feel uncomfortable with what the Lord is saying to us. I just need to mention one thing more before we have a look at these four examples that the Lord has mentioned here. And that is to say that the Lord is speaking to individuals here. At no point in this passage is the Lord saying that we are not allowed to be involved with the police services, that we are not allowed to be involved as soldiers in wars, or that we are not allowed to defend the wicked and the evil things that are going on in this world. As a group, we can do that. But the Lord is speaking here for individuals. So when he says resist or what does he say here? But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. He's not saying, oh, well, just put your hands up and walk away from things and ignore it as if there's no evil in this world. Certainly, we must make a stand for what is wrong in this world. So it is right for Christians to make a stand against, for example, abortion. It is right for Christians to go and help the government defend its country. But as individuals, we have a different reproach. And so the Lord Jesus goes on to say, and I've put this reference up here a few pages further on in Matthew 16 in verse 24, the Lord says, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Jesus is speaking about our own personal individual attitude to others and to always wanting to make ourselves the most important person. So what is the way of the Christian? The way of the world is to get back at other people. God says, no, restrict your retaliation. But then Jesus takes it a step further and says, what is the way of the Christian? So secondly, this morning, the way of the Christian. Jesus says, love your enemy, as we looked at last week. Today he tells us, deny yourself. Really, that's what he goes on to say in this passage. But how does he expect us to do that? Well, in the few verses that follow, Jesus gives us four principles here that we are to take note of as we live our Christian lives. Four things of examples. This is not a comprehensive list. This is just a list of examples. And as I was working through this material this week, I realized that there's so much here that if I was to talk about all four of these examples, we would be here until 12 or 1 o'clock this afternoon. So I'm just going to pick up on two. And hopefully, as we look at those two, we will begin to understand what the Lord is saying. And so when we read that into the next two, we will understand what Jesus has told us. So let's have a look firstly this morning, and let's look at the first one in verse 39, denying retaliation. Jesus says, but I tell you, in other words, you know that you must not retaliate more than what was done to you, but now I tell you, this is how you should live. Do not resist an evil person. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. What? Did we read that correctly? Is Jesus telling me that if someone comes to me holding up a gun and wants to rob me, I must just stand there and not try to defend myself? Is Jesus saying that if someone at school beats me up, I must just suck it up and carry on? Is Jesus saying that I must just allow evil things to carry on and ignore them? Well, that's how some people understand what Jesus has said here. And some people have used that very verse to show that we must not be policemen or soldiers or lawyers or things that defend evil, because the Bible says, do not resist an evil person. But that is not the application of these verses, friends. Because Jesus is not talking about this as a general principle. He's talking about this as an individual principle for me, for you. There's nothing wrong with standing up for what is wrong and fighting against those evil people. That's what the government is supposed to do all the time. That is why we have courts of law. And it's interesting to note that when the Lord God gave the command to the Israelites in the desert, eye for eye and tooth for tooth, he was actually speaking to the priests and the Levites and the judges of Israel, saying to them that when you sentence people, don't give them more than what was done to them. So Leon Morris says Jesus is referring to private retaliation here, not to the public order. Now, I think we need to explain a little bit here about what this slap in the face is all about. generally doesn't happen today. So we say, oh, well, cool, that's easy to do. People generally don't slap me in the face. But in Jesus' time, a slap in the face was seen as the saying, as we come to know, as a major insult. So when we talk today of somebody, oh, gee, it was like a slap in the face, it's a picture of that, oh, gee, talk about being insulted. And that's what we mean in here. So what Jesus is saying here is not so much when someone physically comes to beat you up, but rather the fact that when somebody insults you, what's our immediate reaction? When someone insults you, we try to defend ourselves, don't we? We explain why we did what we did. Or we get back at that other person. We try to retaliate by insulting them. And Jesus says, when someone insults you, don't retaliate. You see, we might try to get back at that person by gossiping about them and spreading all sorts of ugly rumors about them. We might try to clear our name by insulting them. We want to defend our honor, our prestige. But Jesus says, don't defend yourself. You want to, but don't. David Cook suggests, at the point of vulnerability, don't respond. Allow the personal insult to go unanswered. The duel unaccepted. Can you see why we often ignore this, what the Lord Jesus is telling us? Because it goes against what our culture says and does. It goes against my inner core and what I think and how I naturally want to react. The principle that the Lord Jesus is trying to teach us here is that if someone insults you or does something unkind to you, be different in how you respond to them, especially as a Christian. And don't retaliate. Martin Lloyd-Jones, who was a 19th century theologian, said, what the Lord Jesus is saying is that I am not to be concerned about myself, my own personal honor, my own name, and so on. Friends, that's a hard teaching, isn't it? Because the natural instinct in me is when someone insults me, I want to get back at them. How dare they? It's hard. But remember what the Lord Jesus said just a few verses earlier. In chapter 5 and verse 3 and 4 and so on. Blessed are those who are poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the merciful. As Christians, we are blessed by the Lord God, despite the fact that someone might insult us or do something to us. So the way of the Christian is to deny retaliation. Jesus gives us a second example this morning, and he says to us that we must deny our possessions. Again, that is a really hard thing to do. We are not to make our possessions or make much of the possessions that we own. Look at verse 40 and what the Lord says here. If someone wants to sue you, take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. Now, again, we need to explain this because what does that mean to us today? I don't wear a tunic. And, well, I haven't even got a coat on. So what is the Lord trying to say to us here? And again, I think we need to look at this and try and grapple with it and see what the principle is that the Lord Jesus is trying to show us. Now, in the times of the Lord Jesus, they dressed a little bit differently to what we do today. And generally, there were three items of clothing that people would wear. There would be an undergarment. Then there would be a tunic, which I think is a cotton garment that sort of would look a little bit like our girls' school dresses, or at least the primary school dresses, a sleeveless sort of dressy-like tunic, but made of cotton, quite thin, something that you would work in, your normal clothes. And then there was an overcoat. You remember in the mafia movies and stuff, and you got the gangsters all wearing their trench coats and stuff like that? I think something along those lines. So that's how people would dress normally. Now, it was against the law in the Jewish custom to take a man's cloak, because his cloak was made of probably a wool-type substance. It was a warm jacket, and it was something, especially in the poorer people, that they would use as their blanket at night as well. If you took a man's cloak, you were literally sentencing that person to death, because they had no ways and no means of keeping warm. So it was against the law to take a man's cloak. Of course, it was against the law as well to take a man's undergarments. But his tunic, yeah, that you could have. And so when Jesus says, someone sues you for your tunic, you know what the Lord says? He says, you know what? Give him the tunic, but add your cloak in as well. That is really something. In other words, that man is saying, yeah, gee, I'll be sad to see my tunic go, but hey, here's my cloak as well. The man would be left standing in his undergarments. Now, in today's terms, that's a bit silly, talking about clothes and suing the clothes off somebody and so on. But what's the principle that the Lord Jesus is speaking about here? Well, the cloak and the tunic is merely an example. And the principle is that we are not to insist upon our rights. We might suffer injustice. We might be left out in the cold, so to speak. The Lord says, if someone sues you for this, give them more than what they are wanting. Because remember that Jesus is not speaking about fighting and for the rights of others, or standing up for the oppression of people. But he's speaking about my attitude to others. Jesus is speaking about a personal case. Something that it'll affect only me. Perhaps some of you have seen the musical Les Miserables. And the movie has just come out quite recently. And in the movie and in the musical, there's a character called Jean Valjean. He was stealing a loaf of bread for his starving family, and he was sentenced to jail. He spent 20 years serving his sentence for a stolen loaf of bread and was eventually released from prison. Of course, he was now labeled as a convict, and life was hard. No one wanted to give an ex-con work. Eventually, he found refuge in a church. And the minister had food to spare, so the minister gave him a few plates of food to eat, because he hadn't eaten for a few days. The minister gave him a bed to sleep in. And as Jean Valjean lay in his bed, he noticed that the church was filled with very valuable silver items. And Jean Valjean wakes up in the middle of the night, finds a bag, and fills the bag with all the silver that he can find. He leaves the church and runs off. The next morning, the cops find Jean Valjean. They know he's an ex-con. They find him with this bag of silver, and they drag him off back to the church. They recognize the silver as belonging to the church. They drag him off to the minister. They throw him in the feet of the minister and they say, look what we found this man carrying. And you know what the minister does? The minister doesn't thank the cops and say, oh, thank you for returning all my lost silver. He says to Jean Valjean, he says, oh, but you left in such a hurry, you forgot these two great silver candlesticks. And gives him the silver candlesticks. The cops are dumbfounded. They don't know how to respond to the situation. They release Jean Valjean and they go off. Jean Valjean is humbled. He was given hospitality, food and a bed. He stole from the minister. And what does the minister do? He gives him even more. Well, Jean Valjean, as the story continues, ends up as the mayor of a town and really treating people well. He realized something was different about this minister. And in one way, this minister understood what the Lord Jesus was saying here. Deny your own rights. And in a way, that's a way of loving our enemy. They could sue us, but we should act in the surprising way and give them more than what they are suing us for. Really hard teaching, folks, and I've grappled with this week, and it's been hard. But are we beginning to see what the Lord Jesus is saying here? It's not about me, myself, and I, but about doing something good, something unexpected, in the face of something bad. Going counterculture, if you like. Going against the way our society behaves. Bringing good for bad. Now the same process continues in the next two examples where Jesus explains to us that if we are forced to do something that we don't want to do, that's the idea of if someone forces you to walk a mile, walk two, go beyond what they are asking you to do. Instead of grumbling and moaning in the workplace, they ask you to do some menial task. Well, do a second menial task. Do it without grumbling. Go beyond what is expected of you. In verse 42, Jesus says, give to the one who asks and don't turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. Again, we need to be careful there that we're not just randomly giving out to everybody, but it's the notion of that we deny ourselves to those who are truly in need. To those who have nothing, but not the alcoholic, not the drug addict, but those who are truly in need. We are generous to them. We don't think of ourselves, we think of them. Be generous, the Lord says. Now we could spend another half an hour talking about those two examples. But I hope you're beginning to see the principles that the Lord Jesus is laying down here for us. That if we claim to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, then we are to deny ourselves in all situations. Whether we are insulted, whether we are falsely accused or sued or forced to do something that we don't want to do or asked to give something to someone, we are to deny ourselves and do the surprising thing. And what is that? Don't retaliate. Martin Lloyd-Jones says again that as a Christian, we should be seen as different and unconcerned about my own personal interests and rights. It's hard teaching, isn't it, friends? Can you see why we often ignore what the Lord is saying to us? Because we actually don't want to listen to this. But let me just mention, as I did last week, why we should follow Christ and why we should not ignore him at this point. Remember last week as we discussed the idea of loving our enemy and doing good to them. It's not just because that's what Jesus said, but it's because that is exactly what Jesus did. While we were God's enemies, while we rejected what God wanted, he died for us. He loved us so much that he was willing to give his life for his enemy, us. He was treated badly in his trial. How did Jesus respond? Did Jesus retaliate when they slapped him through the face? Did Jesus hit them back? when they made false accusations against Jesus, did Jesus defend himself? No. As the Lord says in chapter 16 and verse 24, we read it a bit earlier, if anyone would come after me, what must we do? We must deny ourselves and take up the cross and follow him. Friends, are you doing that? Am I doing that? Is that the way we act in this world? Are we being counterculture in the way we retaliate or don't retaliate? I could go on with a list of 10, 12, 15 different stories that I just happened to stumble upon this week of people in situations who did not retaliate when it was expected that they would. And as a result, people came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. So friends, even as we respond or don't respond to a specific situation, we might be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Do we demand our own personal rights just like everyone else does? Or do we go beyond that and give them more? David Cook says we need to remember that we are blessed when we hand our lives over to the Lord Jesus Christ. We are blessed, as the Lord said in the Beatitudes, when we are poor in spirit, when we are mourning for our sin, when we are meek, when we've realized that we need the Lord, then we are blessed. So friends, if someone insults you or mistreats you in the workplace or at home, whatever the situation might be, detach yourself from it, from your self-protection, from your self-justification, from your self-preservation, and trust in Jesus, who did all of that for you on the cross. Well, let's pray, because we need God's help here. Lord, we do come before you this morning, Lord, and again we are uncomfortable by your teaching. A teaching that often we just want to ignore and not take note of. Lord, we ask that you would help us to live in the way that you want us to deny ourselves, to pick up the cross, and to follow you. And so, Lord, we ask for your help. Amen.